So I did get x-rays on my hand yesterday. I'm waiting for the doctor to call me. Praise the Lord.
By the time he calls, you'll have to break it, reset it. You know, break it again. Well, praise the Lord. Philippians in chapter 1 tonight with me. The book of Philippians in chapter 1. Amen. And preach 8. All of you coming out tonight again. I was looking at my notes, and I told Pastor tonight it's been 18 years. I came here the first time in 2004, 18 years ago, and it's been quite a while back, amen. And I figured you'd be tired of me by now, but it's not as many. I've preached in one church in Michigan now. I'm trying to think, 35 years, it would be 35 years this year. No, it was 35 this year, And 1 year I preached twice in 1 year there in the spring meeting and in a fall meeting, amen. Amen. And they're gluttons for punishment, I tell them, amen. And they haven't had their pastor left about a year ago now, and they haven't had a pastor. And I was there preaching again for them this last year in meetings, and they said, "Can you come and preach?" I don't know. I preached quite a bit for them last year when I was home, and that winter in the fall, and. He says, "You got any more openings this summer?" I said, "Man, I am gone now until October." "Well, how's October looking?" I said, "October is gone. I'll be back in the area, but October is gone." "Well, how's November looking?" I said, "Well, I'll let you know." Amen. I'm trying to get them to get somebody into the pastor, amen, because it's a good group of people, small work, another small group of believers. But I mean, it's nothing for us to have 25 people there sometimes, but what happens when I'm there preaching is I got a couple of churches in the area that I know that bring their people down for a night, you know, and so we'll get a pretty good crowd sometimes. But Philippians in chapter 1, boy, it was a relaxing time today. I want to tell you, I had some mashed potatoes, and I had some meatloaf, and I had the rest of that cobbler that was in that dish back there, and I had 2 ears of corn. Man, I tell you what, I ate good today, amen, and I like that. And I know you can't look at me and tell me I like to eat. I mean, I know you don't see that, but I enjoy my food, amen. But Philippians chapter 1, and could you stand with me just for a moment? I know you just sat down, but just stand with me for a moment as we read just a couple of verses here, beginning in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 1. And I don't have a title for this message, Pastor. I mean, maybe something like Live the Right Life would work in here. I don't know. You guys can pick out a title, and we'll have a contest. Whoever gives me the right title, you know, and the one that sounds good, then Pastor give you $10, amen. So just thought I'd throw that out there real quick, and let's see what happens here. Philippians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Boy, that's what a promise in the scripture, amen, that we have from the Lord. He says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now, Father, thank you again for reading your word. And I pray tonight, Father, and just ask that you would use this time to glorify yourself, Lord. And Father, help us each one, Father, to glean something from this message that will draw us closer to you, that you be glorified now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. As I begin tonight, the first thought I have here, I'm looking at verse 10 and verse 11, and spend some time in these two. Oh, there's a lot of messages between verse 1 and verse 10. I mean, you can get a lot of preaching out of those first nine verses, amen. And then when you come down to verse 10, I like what Paul says to them. He said that ye may approve things that are excellent. that you may approve things and directions. I want to stop right there for a minute, because we need in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ to approve things that are excellent. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians. Keep your Bible ribbon or your Bible finger or a piece of paper here in Philippians, because we're going to come back there. And go with me to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, just a few pages over in your Bible, in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Now, I want to read this beginning in verse 21. He says this, chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all... Watch, approve things that are excellent. He said, approve again. Improve all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body are preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. We need to approve things in our lives that are excellent. Things that are pure, things that are holy, things that are right in God's eyes. What are you doing to approve what you do in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ? Well, we prove it out. We'll prove it out with the Word, amen. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, will never lead you against the Word of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit, by the way, the Holy Spirit can't lead you against the Word of God. But there's many people I run into sometimes, even in Baptist churches, that say, well, I believe this is what we ought to do. Yeah, but what's the Bible say? You know, again, it always comes back to what's the Bible say. And sometimes they'll say, well, I don't see it that way. I don't know how you can see certain things certain ways when it says certain things, amen? Let's just believe what the Bible says, amen? Let's just trust the very truth of the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells you and I as believers that be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what? Is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to prove some things. We need to be conformed to the image of Christ. We need to live in a mannerism consistent with the Word of God. So consistent. And I want to tell you, we make it hard. God does not make it hard to do this, but we need to live a life so consistent with the things and the truth of the very Word of God that when people meet us, they recognize there's something different about us, amen. Not being mean, not being bitter, not being ugly. I've seen people sometimes that are Christians get so ugly and mean about people in a bank, people in a grocery store, people at a gas pump at a gas station, people that sometimes people in the church. I mean, I've seen battles, man, over the years in different churches, things going on, and people screaming at each other and hollering at each other, and then they say they're Christians. Well, I tell you, that's not approving things that are excellent, amen. That's approving things that are not excellent, but approving things that are just going to destroy the house of God. Going to destroy a testimony of what Christ has done in life. And we need to make sure that we approve things that are excellent as believers in Jesus Christ. He's in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. And to know the love of Christ, and to know, K-N-O-W, the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. There's more, amen, more. The song says more about Jesus. There's more, amen, passeth our understanding. He's got so much more for you and me. He wants us to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. I can't understand the love of God. I don't understand it. And I'm not going to understand it until I get to heaven, amen. But I need to work on that. I need to come closer to him day by day by day by day. That when I'm out in this world, that people might see him working in my heart, that they might have a desire when I talk to them, and maybe have a desire of what I have they might want, amen. I tell you, I was over here again tonight before church for about 15, 20 minutes and told them I'm praying for you, amen. Told Darlene I'm praying for you, you know. She said, well, pray about this for me. I said, I will. Amen. So one day, maybe one day I'm praying yet. One day, amen. One day, praise the Lord. I hope one day. And to know the love of Christ. Do you know the love of Christ? If you got saved by the grace of God, then you know the love of Christ. Amen. I said the other day, and I know we don't go by feelings, but doesn't it feel good to be loved by Christ? Amen. When you think about that, man, I love it, man. It just makes me feel like, woo, amen. I tell you, we need to know the love of Christ. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Boy, I might be filled with all the fullness of God. I might understand it. I might come to that place. All the fullness of God. I have to be honest with you. I don't know if I've ever been there. I don't know if I've ever been to that point. There's times I think I maybe have been close, but I don't know if I've ever had filled with all the fullness of God. Because I think if it did, it would change some things in our lives. It would make us think different. Amen. It would make us talk different. I'm not talking about filthy language or dirty jokes or anything, but it would make us consider everything about Him. I had a pastor friend years ago, and Don Bennett was his name, and over in Ohio, my second pastor over in Northeast Ohio, but the first one in the Baptist church, amen. My wife grew up underneath his ministry, and whenever we would, no matter where we went, and no matter what we talked about at all, the conversation always came back to something in the Bible. I'm telling you, Pastor, no matter what, I mean, we go down the road, we were going to visit a guy one time that was in the hospital having a bypass surgery, and after he had the surgery, we were going to go visit him in the hospital, and we're going to Cleveland from our place, which is about 50 miles from where we lived. He said, "You want to go with me today, Mike?" I said, "I'd love to go with you, man." We're in the car, we're going down the road, and he's got his Bible open up on the seat next to him, and he starts going like this. He's flipping through the Bible, he's looking at the road, and he said, "Hey, look at this." And I said, "Let me look him up." "Okay, you look him up." And then I look him up, and he said, no. Then he looked at me, he said, "Hey, look what it says." We missed our exit. Because everything we talk about, everything he talks about, comes back to the Lord. It comes back to the Bible. Somehow, he brings Jesus Christ back into it and the fullness of God. And I think that's sort of what it means to come to that place in our life where we are filled with all the fullness of God. Yeah. You could be playing chess with the guy. And he was a pretty good chess player. He'd always somehow bring it back, you know. He'd take your king. He said, "I took your king, but somebody can't take Jesus." Amen. I'm just saying, he'd always bring it back to some biblical truth somehow, some way. That's how his mind worked. One of the greatest guys in Bible prophecy I ever heard in my life, you know, was him preaching and teaching every year through the prophecies of the Scripture. Boy, I tell you, what a godly man he was. But I was playing chess with him one day, and I beat him 3 games in a row. And I started reading the last game. He said, "You know what I think about this?" I said, "What?" He goes, "Flip that board upside down." He sits there going, "Ha, ha, ha." Starts laughing about it, man. Yeah, so I wonder where the fullness of God was in that, amen. Sure, I'm sure if I think back, he turned that somewhere into a positive thing about the Bible, amen. But I think every thought comes back. Our thoughts come back. To the things about Jesus Christ in His Word. Approve things in your life. Approve things that are excellent. Amen. And look what he says also back in Philippians in chapter 1, verse 10. "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere," and I'm going to stop right there, "that ye may be sincere." We're going to look at the rest of that in a little bit. "That ye may be sincere." So what's that idea, that ye be sincere? If you look that word up, Pastor, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I love my iPhone with my Strong's Concordance on it, you know. But it gives you a definition, something like this: judged by sunlight. Tested as being genuine, pure. And it's the same thought that if you went over to other scriptures where it talks about being purified or tested or by fire, it's the same thought. The stuff is taken away, the dross is taken out, the garbage is taken out, so that you'd be sincere, that your life is sincere as a believer in Jesus Christ. It's one that is living in the light, amen. A life that is living according to the things of God, a life that is genuine. Boy, if people want anything, they want to see something genuine in a believer's life, amen. If you tell people you're a Christian, they want to... It amazes me. The world knows more about how Christians should be than Christians know how Christians should be. Amen? Yeah. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, amen? You just step out of line at all, and the world says, I thought you were a believer.
Yeah.
I thought you were a Christian. You know, I thought you go to that Baptist church over there. I thought you go to that Bible church. I thought you, it's been amazing to me. I even have Christians ask me sometimes. I had a lady ask me today, because I was preaching that light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place at the same moment. And she said, I understand what you're saying. She said, but does that mean a person who says that they're a Christian can cuss you out and swear and use foul language? And I said, well, it shouldn't, but they will sometimes. Amen. She said, it just makes me wonder if they got dark and not light. I said, well, that makes me wonder too. Amen. Amen. Doesn't that make you wonder? I said, absolutely it does. We need to be sincere. We need to live in the light. Be genuine. That's what the world wants to see. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 5. We're just going to look at a few verses here. But 1 Corinthians in chapter 5 with me. Over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 5. And look with me, if you would, down to verse, let's see, verse 6 through verse 8. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. You're a lump. You know that. That's what the Bible says. Be a new lump. Amen. So, the lump is as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And the same word leans back to this word that they use for sincerity, in the light. If you look it up, and it'll give you another number up there to look up, and it refers back to this same thought here. And so in sincerity and what? Not just sincerity, but in truth. In truth, we need to be living, not just living in the truth, we need to be living the truth. You need to be living the truth. I need to be living the truth, amen. That means that if I'm really, now I want to be careful of this statement because I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but if I'm really where I ought to be with the Lord, and I've got the fullness of the Lord, Pastor, then everything I do should be according to the truth of God's Word. That's what I should base it on. Right here. Amen. That's what I should base it on. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12 says, For our rejoicing is this, a testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, godly sincerity, all right, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word, he says, to you word. He said, we have this conversation that we have now is one that is by the wisdom and the sincerity, but it's godly sincerity. And I don't know about you, and simplicity and godly sincerity. You know, that means that when I think of simplicity, I think of simple things, amen? Something easy, that's what I think of, you know? I used to put model cars and model planes together. I made it the way I wanted to look, Pastor. I don't think I ever followed the instruction of my life, amen. And that proved out my life as I got older. You know, I'd build something and it never turned out right because I always took the shortcuts. I'm finally learning to read instructions, amen. I'm finally getting to that point where I'm reading instructions. But it took me 70 years, Dave, to get there, amen. Good night. You'd think I would have learned a long time ago, amen. I like simple things, but the simplicity and God, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. My simplicity, ought to be the Word of God. My sincerity ought to be because of the Word of God. That's where I ought to be. That's where you ought to be as believers in Christ. Things that are sincere, that ye may be sincere. He says in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. We just saw that in 1 Corinthians, sincerity and truth. He said, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So serving him in sincerity and truth means I'm going to be willing to put some things away that were behind me and not be involved in them. That's why I'm looking at that. This is, I'm not talking about Israel right here. They are, but I'm talking about you and me. Amen. And we need to, these things that were back behind us, we need to put away. The childish things, and then the things that hindered us from getting saved, and after we got saved, the things that hindered us from growing in the Lord that we ought to grow. Amen. We need to put them away, put them, get rid of them, have nothing to do with them. Why? Because Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods." Put away these things, amen. And I'm not saying those things in your past were gods. I'm simply saying those things in your past are what will hinder your growth today. And it'll keep you from getting the fullness of God in your life as a believer in Christ. Because we allow those things to interrupt our daily plans with the Lord. Or God's daily plans with us, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 2:17 says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God." Amen. You're not like many which can corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, amen, but in the light. I can't help but see that. When I see that word, that's what I'm thinking about, living in the light, brother, amen. Maybe that would be a good title for this message, I don't know, but living this light. But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Listen one more time. For we are not as many, we're not like some, which corrupt the word of God. Well, boy, let me say this. Many have corrupted the Word of God today. Many preachers have corrupted the Word of God today. Amen. I know we've all said things probably sometimes, Pastor, in the pulpit, preaching, that we went back and studied later on and thought, yeah, I didn't have that right the first time. Amen. You ever do that? I don't think you did. I know I'd have, you know. Yeah, I did, but then you correct it. Amen. Because you don't want to corrupt the Word of God. You don't want to stop the Word of God. You don't want to hinder the Word of God in some believer's life or somebody's life who's coming into church hearing the preaching the gospel of Christ. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Well, we need to be sincere. We need to prove things that are excellent, and then we need to be sincere as believers in Jesus Christ. Go back to the text with me in the book of Philippians in chapter 1. Look what he says again, beginning in verse 10. He says, "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense," and without offense till the day of Christ. Without offense. Now, that's a command to you and I. We need to approve things that are excellent. We need to that we might be sincere, and that we would be without offense. Now, I don't know if you've ever offended anybody. I have, you know. And sometime in the past, there have been times when I did it intentionally because I just knew it would irritate them, amen. So I know you've never done anything like that. I know you folks, I've been looking out here and I see the halos over your heads, you know. You have to look hard, Dave, I know, amen, for that halo. He was looking at your head, sister, I'm just saying, Without offense, you know, I don't know if you've ever done anything like that. Paul says in Acts chapter 24, verse 16, "And herein do I exercise myself." I like that term, exercise. I don't do it, but he's not talking about physical exercise, amen. But this is what I do. He said, "This is what's for me. This is what I need." He said, "Here do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God," listen, "and toward man." We say, "Well, I'm not doing anything to offend God." How about man? And let me make this statement. You can't be right with God and wrong with man and be right with God. It don't happen that way. You have to be right all the way around in order to be right with God. So if you've done something that's offensive and you know about it, you need to deal with that. Amen. You say, "Well, I pray and I come to church." That's fine. I'm glad. But if you've done an offense against somebody that you know personally and you remember that in your mind, you need to deal with that. Because if you don't, listen to me, if you don't, you're hindering your relationship with God. And I don't know about you, but I've done that. Amen. And had to make some things right before. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. Over 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. I'm going to get myself over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to look down to verse 31 and beginning of 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all, what? To the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So my purpose is not to get in a fight with my neighbor. My purpose is to live so I can talk to my neighbor about Jesus Christ. Amen. And you would not believe, I know a man right now just told me recently here, and was sort of proud of it. He's up in his 70s and had a fight with his neighbor. He came to church that morning and he told me, he said, I had a fight with my neighbor yesterday. He says, and the police came because we were arguing and screaming at each other out in the driveway, and he was mad and I was mad, and the police came and said, knock it off. If I have to come out here again, I'm going to take both of you to jail. And he's laughing about it, sort of proud of it. I'm thinking, there's nothing to be proud of there. So what's the witness between you and your neighbor? What are you? How you're living in front of your neighbor? And you say you're a member of Yada Yada Baptist Church, and you and that's the Independent Fundamental King James Baptist Church, brother. And so my thought is here. What are you saying to your neighbor now? Have you witnessed to him? And now if you witness to him, how's it going to be? There's been an offense created, amen. And maybe his neighbor started the whole thing, but guess what? We need sometimes just to back down a little bit, amen. And there's been times I spoke my piece. I'm telling you, amen. And every time I have, it hasn't worked out because it was my way, not God's way. We need to be without offense as believers in Jesus Christ. Maybe be without a fence around your property. No, I'm just kidding, amen. My neighbor has a fence, and I'm sort of glad for it because they had dogs, and I don't want the dogs over messing in my yard, amen. But if they do, guess what? I'm going to ask them, could you clean it up? And if they don't clean it up, guess who's going to have to clean it up? My wife, amen. Just saying. You know that about that, Deb, right? Yeah, you understand. First Thessalonians, I wish Tracy was here to hear that one, amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to not be blameless. Let's be blameless, not create an offense. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might, speaking about the church, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot, nor wrinkle, he says, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and, well, listen, and without blemish. And how many of you remember blemishes when you were teenagers? Amen. And, but he said that the church is supposed to be without blemish. That means those little blotches in people's lives in the church that somebody comes in and they see, He said, no, I want you to be blemish free. Find some good blemish-free medication. The Bible. Amen? Right here. Here's our blemish-free medication for the Christian life. The very truth of the Word of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can't remember when I preached this message last, and I go over them. I'm always rewriting new stuff, brother. Always adding stuff to them, you know, and sometimes there's some takes the stuff out of some of them because I thought, what in the world was that in there for, amen? You ever done that? No. Yeah, you got all your ducks in a row. I know, preacher. I know you, amen. Yeah. You never mispronounce a word. I know him, you know, I can tell, amen. Praise the Lord. And look with me at Philippians chapter 1 again. Look at, now let's look at beginning in the end of verse 10, verse 11. Let's go. Let's read verse 10 again. That you may approve things that are excellent. Let's not forget that. That you may be sincere and without offense. Let's not forget that sincerity and be without offense till the day of Christ. Now watch what he says. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Being filled with the fruits. Amazes me. It's plural. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is singular. Many parts of that fruit. Amen. Many parts. But here, the fruits, plural, of righteousness. That means for you, I said, wrote down fruits of righteousness. Go to John 15 with me. John 15. And I know that you know these verses. There's just no doubt in my mind that you know these verses in the Scripture. Go over in John chapter 15. He makes this statement beginning in. I'm not going to read all these verses. I want to read verse 4, 5, and verse 8. He says in verse 4, he said, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Part of our fruit of righteousness that we need, the fruits of righteousness we need to apply to our lives, we need to be grafted in, not just in salvation, but we need to make sure that we are connected to Him completely, that we are allowing Him to flow in us through His precious word in the form of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. He says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Verse 5. Look at verse 8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples." And a fruit-bearing pastor, I don't think he's necessarily talking about, now we could use this all as soul winning, amen, but there's so much more to this passage than just going out and winning souls, amen, going out and knocking doors, going out and telling people about Jesus Christ, going out and handing a tract. There should be some fruit in our life as believers in Jesus Christ, because we are grafted into Him through the precious blood of the Lamb. When you trust Him as your Savior, you become part of that vine that He is, and you cannot do anything without Him. Well, the fruits of righteousness. I need to live a life so consistent with the Word of God that other people will see Him working in my heart. People ought to be able to go, when you go through a difficult time, anybody ever told you this? I don't know how you could go through that. I've had people make that statement to me, but I don't know how you could go through that, you know. And I'm thinking, well, the Lord. The Lord's never going to put you through anything that you can't handle. The problem is, we don't want to recognize that. Amen? So then Christians get bitter, and they get angry at God, and then they say, "God has let me down." And God, you know, my friend, if that was the case, then He would not fill you with His love. He wants to fill you with His love. He wants to help you. He wants to strengthen you. Amen. We need to have these fruits of righteousness. He said in Romans chapter 6, verse 22, "Now being made free from sin, and ye became servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness," amen, "your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life." We need to have a fruit unto holiness. Romans chapter 6, 22. Listen one more time. "But now being made free from sin and became servants to God," he says, "ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." Well, I have a fruit of holiness in my life. We've allowed the holiness root to steal our holiness joy in the Lord. Amen. I like to say it that way. We've allowed them because of some of their positions and things, we're afraid to be equated with them. So we don't sometimes use the term holy. But I want you to know something. We're supposed to be holy because He is holy. Amen. That's how we're supposed to be as believers in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now, no chastening." No chastening for the present. You ever been chastened by God? I have been, amen. "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." We sometimes in our home, we say, that was a Jesus spanking. Have you ever had a Jesus spanking? Let me give you one. It wasn't just a while back. That big old trailer I had, I traded it for a job at my house. I got to put a new shower in and stuff. And so I told Janice, she had a big dresser in there that somebody gave us. And she said, "That's too big. I don't want that. Too heavy." So we gave that to the guy, and I gave him that old 40-foot trailer. I had a big Travel Supreme. I gave that to him. He had to have some work in it, you know. And he put a $2,000 shower unit, spent 2 days in my home, you know, a fellow from my home church, and he was interested in the trailer. So I just gave it all to him, you know. Well, then we had a wooden headboard behind our bed, and that puppy was heavy. I mean, it was heavy. He did everything I could with Jenny to get that thing out on the porch now, you know. Used to be I could probably just lift it up myself at one time, but forget that now. It ain't happening anymore. And so we get that on the back porch of my house, and I got it standing up on end lengthwise this way. And it's up by, it's a king-size bed. It's up in here, you know. So I got that leaning up on my tailgate of that truck off the edge of the porch, and I got it leaning up against those toolboxes I got right in the back of the truck there. you know, right by the tailgate. And I got my foot on it. And my wife says, I get in trouble all the time, brother. My wife says, now I'm going to embellish this just a little bit until I tell you what happened. My wife says, you know that's going to kick back and hit you in the shins. And I said, woman, it's not. I know it's not going to. I'm fine. I can handle this. Leave me alone. No sooner did I say that, my stinking foot slipped. That thing came up, and I can show you the scars. Raked both my shins, one that deep, this one all to the bone. I mean, it was a mess. I mean, I tell you what, it took me a month and a half to get that thing healed up, and they still hurt, amen? So we call that a Jesus spanking, amen? You ever had one? Anybody know what I'm talking about, amen? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, amen? Now, no chastening for the moment. That present, it didn't, you know. Now, I'll tell you, when I have a brother, I did not cry. I did not say a word. I just stood there and put my pant legs up. And she looked. She said, uh-huh. She didn't say, I told you so. Uh-huh. It was an I told you so. Amen. But I did not say, ouch. I did not say anything, you know, until she wasn't around. I said, man, does that hurt? Boy, I tell you what. I'd like to pass out, I thought, there for a moment. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. It's not as you don't enjoy it when it's happening, but grievous. Sometimes it's hard on you. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. His whole purpose of chastening you and bringing that point in your life is that you might produce a fruit of righteousness in your life to honor and to glorify Him and not yourself. Amen. And then he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy. You know, I like that verse. I don't know how worthy my walk has been in 48 years of salvation. I'm going to say 48 years this last January, Pastor. I don't know how faithful my walk has been. I don't know how worthy it's been of the Lord unto all pleasing, he said. Everything, that means everything I do ought to be to please God. And I can't say it has been. I can't say it has been. I want it to be. Amen. That's my desire in my heart. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Being fruitful in every good work, fruits of righteousness, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Why? That I might have increase in the fullness of God in my life. Well, I tell you, we need to make sure that we are doing some things correctly according to the very word of God. Amen? And we might do what's right. We need to prove things that are excellent and be sincere and without offense, and then fruits of righteousness. This ever has bowed and our eyes closed. It's bowed eyes closed. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, and I wouldn't even begin to pretend to know, my friend. I just know what the Bible speaks to me about, and I just know what God tells me to preach. And well, I'm going to ask this question again tonight, and you say, Mike, we know we're saved, praise the Lord, but if you're not, would you make sure? Anybody at all tonight with an upraised hand, say, Mike, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. Anybody at all? You need to make sure you know Christ as your Savior. All right, second question. Mike, would you just pray for me? Pray for me, because there's some things that you touched on here this evening where God spoke to my heart. How about tonight? God bless you. Amen. Others, how about God bless you? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else tonight? How about it? Let's be honest. Let's just be honest. Amen. All right. Father, I thank you for these that raise their hand, Lord. You know their heart. I pray, God, you help them, Father. God, help us in our life that we would be sincere, Father, without offense, that we would grow in your grace and your mercy, Father, that we'd be, Father, just full of you. Help us, Father, just to honor and glorify you in our lives, Father, and magnify your precious name. And that people would see you when they meet us, Father, they might have a desire to want to know what we have, why we're different, Father. Help us, Lord, please. I give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. And Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you slip out and come to the altar tonight? God bless you. 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 Amen. God bless you.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Number 57, let's pray a couple more verses. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify Thy name. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from Thee. Send a revival, star the work in me. Thy word declares, Thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead. Praise the Lord. Lord, bless you for being here tonight. Just a couple things before we leave. Let me mention that we talked to Tony.